You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Well Met. We're at episode number 60. I am John Horstman, centered out of Denver, Colorado, and we've got an incredible show for you. First, from Saskatoon, Canada, it's Kevin Hovdestad. Hey, Kev.
What's up, John? Good to be back. Good to have you back. I'm looking forward to a crazy show, not on our usual night, I feel bad, but we did push back by a day to let everybody spend their Sunday night with their mom, I hope. So if you guys are listening to the audio show a day late, it's because we were with our moms and we hope you were with yours.
We weren't with your moms, though. Don't worry.
Whoa.
Got him. Hey, JR. Kansas City.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Good to see you.
Yeah,
I feel so out of the loop with you guys.
Yeah. You've been gone and we haven't been able to talk and
no
spoon or anything like that.
Nope. No spooning.
Wait, what?
No spoon. Kevin's jelly now.
Kevin's jealous.
A little bit, yeah. Jeez.
You should be.
First I've heard of it.
JR Blue's is gone. The best.
Always the last to know.
You will ever meet. He's really. Yeah.
Guys are killing me.
Really huggable. Anyways, this is the Hearthstone Show. We want to thank you all for joining us this week. And sorry for being a day late, but hopefully you will forgive us because I think it's going to be a really good show. We've got a lot to go through. We got a lot of your emails. Thank you, by the way. We got so many freaking emails. I could not believe it. We're going to dedicate a huge part of the show to talking about your questions. But first, I want to hear about your weeks. So, JR, take it away. Tell us about your week in Hearthstone.
Unfortunately, because of the busy week, I didn't get a lot of chance to play. But when I did, I had a lot of fun playing the same deck that I did last week, which was the Hybrid Shaman deck. I posted it on our Patreon Facebook page. So if you're a patron, you can see it there. I have made some additional tweaks to it since I posted it. So I'll be reposting that. And I'll probably just go ahead and post it to everybody tomorrow so they can see it. It's done okay for me. I'm up to rank 5, or I was up to rank 5. I've dropped a little bit since then.
Nice.
But I'll move back up, I'm sure. So
that's really solid, though.
Yeah, I've also been trying out that Control Paladin deck as well. That's been a pretty fun deck.
How do you really feel, Kevin? I saw that.
Not strongly.
Oh, man.
It's a fun deck, but I'm missing one important piece to it right now. Ragnaros, the Light Lord.
I was gonna say Dr. Boom.
I need the Ragnaros to really make that deck shine. Because that card is a lot better than I gave it credit for.
All right. I can't wait, because I'm still on the lukewarm side, but I haven't seen that deck in action yet.
It's annoying to play against, that's for sure. It's very tough to play out. I think it's one of those decks that eventually people will learn how to play against it, and it won't be as powerful as it is now. But right now, it's just trying to learn how to play against it's been a challenge.
Kev, how was your week, man?
It was okay. I'm up at the like rank, I don't know, 7 or 8 range. I don't remember where I'm sitting exactly right now. I might have dropped to 9 actually, messing around last night. I've been playing just awful decks. I cruised up to 7 or 8 or whatever with Patron, and then just kind of messed around, decided I would play some different stuff, try a few other things. I haven't found anything that I really loved in the decks that I've been playing, but the problem is that there's just the whole meta is such a wild, wild west of bizarre insanity right now that it's impossible to predict what's going to be successful, what's not. I honestly am just at this point kind of enjoying this season, because my original plan of like, yeah, I got some time in May, I'll go for Legend, has been, you know, totally dragged through the mud by I have no idea what I'm going to queue into. And every time I think I get an idea, because you see some kind of meta report or you hear somebody say, oh, you know, Temple Warrior is the new hotness, I don't run into those decks. I run into the like Reno Nazoth control rogue, or like, it just, you have no idea. And the stuff that's out there is all totally insane. So I'm hoping actually to, because I know we've talked about this a lot in the past, I'm hoping that it starts to settle. I'm hoping that in the next couple of weeks, maybe we start to see like some consistency and we know what we're going to queue into again. Because I'll be honest, I liked the, you know, that you're going to run into Midrange Druid or Zoo or whatever better than I like this mess. So.
Nice. Well, I didn't get to play at all. I feel really bad.
I can't push the boo button, but boo.
I got you. Don't worry.
Thanks.
Except that for some reason, the volume on that was way down. Oh, well. Anyways, let's before we jump into the news, though, I do want to take a moment and thank our friends of the show, Martin Z, Albert T, and Sean G. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show in such a fantabulous way. If you want to know more, head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. We're really trying to ramp up here into some really, really cool prize tiers. And so if you want to support the show, you like it, come hang out and support us on Patreon, and then we can hang out in our Patreon-only Facebook group. It's really fun. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, and I did also, I updated the Patreon sound file page to include...
Rooktar! Oh, God.
So that is there, and we've got a great email about that exact soundbite later on.
Do we read that one later?
We are. It's on there.
We're gonna.
It's on there. Cool. Otherwise, I was gonna spoil it, but
No.
No spoilers. No spoilers. Instead of spoilers, let's do news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right. So first and foremost, we did have DreamHack Austin this last week. Neither of you guys went, right? You guys both sallied out. Okay, cool.
I got top eight.
You got top eight?
No.
Those ranked.
I would
five
have loved
top
to have
eight.
Been there.
Top eight.
Looked like a super good tournament, but no.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun. So the DreamHack Austin tournament for Hearthstone was a $27,500 prize pool, 15 Hearthstone Championship Tour points for the winner. It was open Swiss with a top 16 cut into single elimination. And then Last Hero Standing was the format. And spoiler alert, Chalky wins. He finally stops getting second for every single tournament he plays in. He's always second place. So he goes ahead and takes the win. Do you guys get to watch much of the tournament at all this past weekend?
Unfortunately, with the weekend activities and everything that was going on, I did not get a chance to watch it. However, I was following it a little bit on Twitter, and a lot of people were saying a lot of really good things about this tournament and how much fun it was. Mainly just because of not only like DreamHack in the US, which is a really big deal, it's the first time DreamHack has been here, but also second major standard Hearthstone tournament that we've seen live now, and the games were I guess were just really solid, really nail-biting, really fun to watch, and it's just going to show that Blizzard taking standard like they have and what they're doing is going to keep the game fresh for a long time.
Yeah, I had some time to watch this tournament, but I didn't have the Wi-Fi speed in the hotel, so I didn't get to watch. I just got to see scores, and I tried to watch Twitch chat for about 15 seconds, and I was like, nope, not going to happen. But it looked like a really great tournament. I'm definitely going to go back, watch the VODs, and I would recommend that you, the listener, as well as Kevin and JR, do so as well.
One of the things I did do was I went over and looked at a bunch of the deck lists for the top players. And there's a lot of stuff out there that's really good. There's a decent list out there on Reddit of all the different lists, I think on Hearthpwn as well. So if you want to check those out and see what people are playing in these tournaments, you definitely should do that because it will give you a decent idea of what's being played right now in the meta.
Cool.
Yeah, that was the coolest thing in my mind, because I didn't watch it much either with, you know, Mother's Day and all the family visiting and stuff. But the deck lists that have been published, the cool thing to me was there's actually a surprisingly wide range of stuff that was brought. Like, typically, as the meta starts to solidify and people know what's going to do well in a tournament environment, you'll see, I would say, one or two styles played of maybe five or six classes in a typical tournament. And then somebody will be the one guy who brings Priest or whatever, right? Like, that's typically what we expect. But there were, I think, four or five different archetypes of warrior brought. Every class was brought in like a reasonable amount of representation. So you just saw a whole ton of different games. And when you queued into, like, I thought warrior was the coolest, because when you queued up against a warrior in this tournament, you had no idea. Is this going to be control? Is this going to be patron? Is this going to be tempo? I don't remember. There may have been a C'Thun warrior at one point. Yep. Like, there's tons of stuff.
And that's the way it feels on ladder right now, too, whenever you face
warrior. Totally, yeah.
Well, I feel like this segues in pretty well. Kevin, I know you posted a link to an interview Hearthhead had with Firebat about kind of the new changes with Standard and Whispers of the Old Gods. You want to lead us into this one?
Absolutely, yeah. So Hearthhead had a chance to do an interview at PAX East with Firebat, just to talk to him about a little bit of the stuff that's going on in the game. And Firebat's been really good lately about talking to people from all sorts of different places, getting an idea of kind of what he thinks has actually been pretty easy, because he's been very vocal about how, you know, the Hearthstone Championship Tour is working. He did a bunch of stuff on the balance changes when those were announced. And so an interview just went up yesterday, I think, on Hearthhead, asking him just kind of about what he thinks about the state of the game as a whole. And so he said there's things like seeing the changes to Big Game Hunter bring back cards from other sets that deserved to be played as removal, like Mulch was a really positive thing, because there's a lot of cards like that that just weren't being used because they were pretty obviously overshadowed. He also went on to talk a little bit about Freeze Mage and kind of why that did or didn't get changed. Some stuff about what they need to do with maybe Priest, and how Priest could be relevant again at some point. So it's a super good interview. If you guys haven't read it, you definitely should. Did either of you two get a chance to take a look at this?
Yeah, I read through it. It touches on a lot of the same things that we've been saying on the show, on cards that are kind of, even last week's show when we did the whole Where Are They Now thing, cards that are making a comeback and cards that were rotating out that are making cards that we already had better, basically. And also with the new tools that we're going to see with the new set as well. He didn't really touch on this too much, but we were talking about like Warrior, and one of the guys in the chat room just brought up, finally my Varian will have a place in a deck list. And it brings me back to remember, oh yeah, I have that golden Varian Wrynn that you guys had me craft when that came out.
You were so happy about it,
good.
Though.
Yeah,
it's yeah, so it, good. It's actually being played now, and it's good. Like that could have been on our segment last week of Where Are They Now. It's a card that's just jumped up out of nowhere all of a sudden, and you see it all the time in Warrior right now, and it's doing extremely well as well. So I mean, that's kind of the take that Firebat's getting from this, is it's bringing back good cards that you didn't think were as good, because you don't have these really overpowering cards that took these deck spots before.
Right. And I think a lot of people are just more willing to experiment. I know even Kevin today in Slack posted a deck list that he's doing some experimentation on. And, you know, it's a good time to do that, because you don't really know what you're going to be facing. So a big advantage is that element of surprise, right? Of having something new, having something unique. And so when you're running your own decks, you've got the ability to do that even more. So
especially right now, where the meta is starting to kind of stick a little bit, and you kind of have you go up against a class and you sort of know what you're going to see. But then people just throw a curveball at you and you're not ready for it.
Right.
Yeah. And this is actually a really good segue into the last thing we were going to talk about news wise this week, which was which sets have had kind of the most impact in Hearthstone in Standard. So there was a bunch of stuff that was being done over on the two Hearthstone subreddits. And they nailed a really kind of neat set of graphs together that shows off what percentage of each sort of major deck in the various meta reports came from each set, as well as above and beyond. Let me try that one more time. Above and beyond that, what percentage of each set was considered playable. So if you look at all the cards that came out, for example, in Blackrock Mountain, what percentage of them are represented in a given in a top tier competitive level deck. So in standard right now, the interesting thing is Whispers of the Old Gods kind of just landed right in the middle. The majority of decks actually run more basic and classic cards than they run, or more, a higher percentage of that set is represented than Whispers of the Old Gods. The most represented set right now is actually still Blackrock Mountain, which I thought was really interesting, because the least represented set everybody knows is the Grand Tournament. And something like only 10 or 11% of all of the Grand Tournament cards are actually being played in a competitive deck list right now. And then everything else, League of Explorers, Whispers of the Old Gods, Basic and Classic, all in that sort of 20 to 25% range. But BRM was just this like standalone. Everything in BRM felt really good. Like 35% of those cards are in top tier deck lists right now. So some pretty cool stuff. If you guys haven't been keeping an eye on the Hearthstone subreddit or the competitive HS subreddit, I'd recommend doing that. John, what did you think about these graphs and about this methodology? Like, do you think this is a useful way to look at which cards are being played and which ones aren't?
So absolutely. When Adam NW, I believe, is the guy who posted, assuming it's a guy, posted it. And originally I was a little put off by it because there was a lot of information missing and a lot of assumptions being made. And so he went ahead later on and he actually made an alternative graph that actually talks about tier one and tier two card reputation representation, which is what you actually get with the BRM. He edited that a couple hours afterward, and from then on it made a lot more sense. It was a lot more thorough, and I was surprised to see Blackrock Mountain up there, because for some reason all I can think of is Thorason when it comes to Blackrock Mountain. And so there's definitely these BRM cards being played that I just don't even associate with BRM, which is on me. But besides that, I mean, really well done. I love it when the community is passionate enough about something that they're going to go ahead and spend a bunch of time and a bunch of effort. Martin Z, he actually does a lot of writing. I think it's, I'm going to say it wrong, because I want to say Otaku MZ, right?
Sounds about right. I don't know how to pronounce it.
he reminds me a lot of this Adam guy, where he spends a lot of time and is incredibly passionate about the game and spends a lot of time finding these cool statistics that you can't get anywhere else. And, you know, puts a lot of time and effort into making them look great. Not because he's making money from it, because he's not. Not because he's going to get famous from it, because, well, he isn't. I'm telling you about him right now. But because he's passionate about the game and wants to add something to the community. And I think that's the best thing about all this. The information is really cool, but most importantly, I love it when we get this real original community content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's most interesting to this to me is what's not surprising, I guess, is how high the adventure modes are going to be as far as percentage wise, because one, they have the least amount of cards in a set. But so by that default, they're going to want to print a set that is going to see it, you know, play and change the meta. There's going to be a higher amount of cards that you're going to see in adventure modes that are going to see play over a larger set like the Grand Tournament and Whispers of the Old Gods. So I think that by default, you're going to see a higher percentage anyway. But what was surprising to me is the Grand Tournament and the very low number that it has. I was sort of expecting to see more of those cards when Standard came in, but we're just not seeing that. And I think a lot of that is Inspire and Joust just isn't really cutting it. And we were kind of afraid of that anyway, but it's just not a mechanic that is very competitive. There's a handful of cards, a small handful of cards, with the Joust mechanic or Inspire mechanic that are seeing play right now. But overall, it's just It's just not a mechanic that really stuck with this game.
I wonder how what percentage of Grand Tournament cards are Discover. I'd be willing to bet a big majority of those cards are Discover cards, because Discover has been amazing.
Yeah, Discover has been tournament. Great. Yeah.
There's been a couple other kind of isolated cards that have kind of made it in, but it feels like it's mostly Discover all the way.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of underrated cards in the Grand Tournament that people haven't gone back and really taken a good close look at. One that I've been trying to run in my decks recently is Draenei Totem Carver, because everybody's trying to run Dr. Four, get their 7/7 for four down, but they're actually paying six for it with the overload. And I pretty consistently play Draenei Totem Carver as a 6/6 on curve with no overload and look at it and think like, okay, that's maybe actually better under some circumstances. It dodges BGH. It has a different application. It's a battle cry effect. So if you've got a brand down, you can get the battle cry twice. Like, there's other ways that you can get synergy out of it. I think there's cards like that that people just aren't going back and evaluating very critically because they don't think they're going to work, or there's a lot of them, unfortunately, that are heavily conditional as well, which I'm the first person to tell you don't run conditional cards. The one takeaway I did want to highlight too was that a lot of people are saying these graphs do kind of make them stop and pause about basic and classic sticking around forever in standard, because it's like anywhere from a quarter to half, depending on your deck, of what you're playing is those same cards that are always going to exist. And I think we've all sort of come to the conclusion that that's good for the game as a whole in terms of the game as a consumer facing product where people have to buy their way into the ecosystem. And standard is designed to alleviate that by keeping basic and classic in and keeping old cards out of the current sets that we're playing within in a given cycle. And that's good, but it does kind of make you go, man, it's really too bad that better or different cards that are more interesting haven't supplanted some of those.
Yeah, they definitely have put a lot of class identity into those classic cards. I mean, I just think of Druid and Mage, and it's like you can't cycle out Fireball without making another Fireball.
No, you'd
or
be
fundamentally
printing another
changing,
Fireball. Yeah.
Or fundamentally changing what the class does, which, you know, some may say isn't a bad thing, but we got an email about kind of class identities and, you know, World of Warcraft and stuff. So we'll touch on that later, but I definitely do think that I agree with the design choice of keeping classic around, simply because there's so many cards that you're going to have to reprint almost every set anyways to make sure that they stay in. But I think there also is a point there that maybe there are too many cards. Like, maybe, I don't know. I mean, especially spells. Like, spells are the one thing where still the default removal for almost everyone except for Priest, I guess. And even Warrior is like classic, right? And so, yeah.
And the classes where it was rotated out, you really feel it. Like, go play Warlock with no Dark Bomb, with no Implosion. Like, it's tough. There's definitely cards whose absence you're noticing because they weren't part of that core set, but they felt like such an obvious, like a 3 damage for 2 mana spell is such an obvious thing that most classes have something to that effect, whether it's a weapon or a spell or something. But for Warlock to not have one is something where you're like, oh man, that's really, like, you really notice that.
Right.
Or like, we're seeing Miracle Rogue right now as a
top tier deck.
Is running basic and classic cards still.
There is
and,
no Miracle Rogue. Yeah. Listeners, ignore him. Doesn't exist.
Play Miracle Rogue.
That deck is
really
so
good.
Awful. So awful. I'm so sad that literally every Miracle Hate card rotated at the same time for standard. That's so annoying.
That's what brought it up. That's what made me think of it though, is like all of the good cards that countered Miracle Rogue are rotated out. So now you have all these basic and classic cards from Miracle Rogue. They're really good. If you ever want to counter Miracle Rogue, they're going to have to bring in cards either in the next set or next standard release. And they're going to have to keep doing that.
What do you do against a concealed auctioneer now? What do you do? Like, I feel like unless you have one of the very few non-targeted, like, deletion removals, like a Deadly Shot, you're basically screwed. Like, there's no Lotheb, there's no Bomb Lobber. What are you supposed to answer? There's no Flame Cannon.
Flame Strike. You got to do AoE.
Just 7 mana. Just seven mana.
Yeah, just seven mana. Yeah.
All right.
Well, they played on turn six, so, you know, you can do it.
It's true. It's true. They only drew seven cards, but it's true.
They only drew maybe one.
Well Met Podcast does not endorse Miracle Rogue.
I like Miracle Rogue. I like it. I think it's a great deck.
Kevin doesn't endorse Miracle Rogue.
I do not.
All right. So we need to talk about the meta, I think. Is there anything else we want to hit before we jump on to the meta?
No, we got 100 emails to do. Let's do it.
100 emails minus 94.
Beat him or join him.
So we're back. We actually have a meta that's changing and evolving and growing, so it's worth actually talking about. And so let's talk about it. So Tempest Storm went ahead and published their first meta report post-standard called the New Standard. And I'll give you a rundown of the top five really quick, and we'll start talking about these decks. First up, Aggro Shaman. Second up, Zulok. In other words, nothing has changed. That's it. Done. Just kidding. So third, Miracle Rogue. And fourth, Nazoth Paladin. So, and then I will say number five, Patron Warrior. Number six, Midrange Shaman. So those are kind of the top decks that we're seeing right now. No surprise to see Aggro Shaman and Zulok up there. Obviously, Kevin's disdain for Miracle Rogue makes it so that number three makes a lot of sense. I have not seen this Nazoth Paladin yet, so it's mythical to me, but we can definitely talk about it. What do you guys think about some of these decks?
Yeah, so when this first came out, I didn't agree with their tier one. I was like, okay, Zulok is really good. I feel like Midrange Shaman is better than Aggro Shaman. I still agree with that, by the way. I still really feel that Midrange Shaman is the better deck of the two. Aggro Shaman, I still feel, is too inconsistent. I didn't feel like Miracle Rogue or Nazoth Paladin deserved to be up top. Nazoth, or I don't even know how to pronounce it. I don't care. Anyway.
I love it.
This came out. This meta snapshot came out. And all of a sudden, I see these decks all the time now. So now they are tier one. That's the whole chicken and the egg thing, I think. I don't necessarily agree with their tier two, though. Mainly because they have C'Thun Druid at number seven. And C'Thun Druid is just not a very good deck. It saw a lot of play the first week. I will give it that.
Because nobody knew how to play against it. And just felt like they had all these powerful minions.
Yeah, it's not a tier two deck. Midrange Hunter is not a tier two deck. And the other one, I would put Control Warrior maybe a little bit higher. It's clear down at number 13. I feel like that one's seeing a lot more play. But the thing that really surprised me the most is there is no Temple Warrior at all on this entire list, tier one through four. No Temple Warrior. And I feel like that's a tier one or tier two deck.
Okay.
I mean, if you do the comparison, though, if you look at what's in Tempo Warrior is honestly like Patron Warrior without patrons, right? Like almost the same.
Really
it's a
close.
Difference of seriously like four or five cards. And I think you can look at what the matchup is good at and basically say, if you aren't seeing a ton of Zoo, you go to Tempo Warrior instead of Patron, because Patron really, I think, has the most success against those like board flood style decks, but against everything else, tempo is better, right? You're not holding onto combo pieces. You're not running like Inner Rage, which doesn't do a whole lot outside of help activate patrons, and you focus on a better board presence and more removal. So, I mean, I think it's still represented in the report in the sense that you can look at where Patron is and how Patron is performing and extrapolate from there as to what you would be doing with Temple Warrior. But I think the thing that was interesting about it to me is that there's such a weird, like, if you look at how they've done the rankings and then you actually go through and look at the matchups as Temple Storm has reported them here, you get this sense that there's just a ton of stuff where I think there's not enough data, because they're calling so many things just 50-50 that it suggests to me they just don't have enough information. Like, if you look at the matchups for Nazoth Paladin, for example, there's no way that Nazoth Paladin is exactly 50-50 with Freeze Mage and Midrange Hunter. That's categorically, there's no way that that's true. There has to be one of those that's favored, and it's not just a straight coin flip. Maybe it's a question of how they're teched. Maybe it's a question of how they curve out. But for sure, there's definitely something there that we're missing. So I think this is an early report because everybody was clamoring for it. And they just give us something, give us anything. And you're right. It's definitely a chicken and egg problem right now where everybody was waiting for this. And now that it's out, everybody's going, oh, okay. So the best decks are, you know, Shaman and Zoo. And if I want to beat those decks, I need to be playing some kind of like, I mean, I don't even know if there's a strong recommendation as far as something that beats them both. Maybe Patron is maybe the only one. But then Patron
gets
like
the Paladin deck
schooled by things like Nazoth. Yeah. It's weird. It's like none of these decks obey the rules, right? Like we're used to saying control will beat aggro, and that's not necessarily what's happening here. And then like the combo decks are losing to things that they shouldn't lose to. I don't know. It's nothing works the way it did before Standard.
Yeah. The only thing I would add to that is something that's cool is all nine classes are represented in tier one and tier two, which is kind of nice. So it does mean that no matter what class you want to play, there is a deck that is winning on the ladder right now. And that means that you can get your quests done. You can play the class that you like the most, not just the one that is doing the best. And still, hypothetically, in a vacuum, pull out wins with those as long as you're playing semi-competently.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mage, like the only really strong one they have right now is that Freeze Mage. And I don't feel like that one's doing as well right now because of what it's missing when some cards got rotated out. So if you want to play Mage, you're actually kind of in a tough spot. There is some pretty fun Yogg-Saron Mage decks out there that you can try to win with. Because anytime you play that against me, you're going to get amazing RNG. So anytime I play it, I get horrible, horrible, terrible RNG. But playing against me, you'll get great.
Cool.
You'll win every time.
Okay. All right. Last but not anything else we want to add here. Is there anything else we want to add to this Tempo Storm list? What are you guys going to run this week?
I was just going to say before we get off of this, I think there's definitely a couple of classes where the innovation isn't done yet. For sure, Mage is one of them, to JR's point. Also, Hunter is a class
Hunter,
where everybody tried to make face Hunter work. They tried to make mid-range Hunter work. But I think there's definitely a lot to be done still in those classes because people haven't gone back and looked at the options. I don't think.
And Druid is another one.
For
like,
sure,
Druid's Druid in is a tough another spot.
One. There's got to be like something in terms of like a consistent deck you could run with Fandral. Some of those cards where you're like, you could probably put something very scary together.
Yeah. Like Fandral looks really good on paper, but it's tough to get him to really work. I think as far as right now, I don't know. I haven't been as impressed with that card as I thought I would be.
I would agree. At the same time, I still think that the part isn't necessarily getting him to work as much as it is getting your opponent to inefficiently have to remove him or suffer the consequences of him working.
But getting into that position has been difficult.
I mean, you basically need it on curve. Yeah. It is kind of the thing. And so,
or to hold it and use it very specifically as a combo piece, like hold it and specifically use it late in the game with, you know, your Wraths or your Druid of the Claws or whatever.
Right. All right. Well, what are you guys going to run this week then? Let's wrap this up so we can get into emails. What are you guys running this week?
I'm going to run Shaman.
All right.
I got some mess around decks that I'm going to keep testing, a Tempo Mage and a Reno Rogue and a couple of other things, but I'll probably go back to Patron.
Nice. I'm running Shaman right now, but I've got a thing where I've got some people who can choose what decks I'm running this week. Basically up to like rank 8, I'll basically run whatever Twitch chat wants me to run. And then from there, I'll actually play real decks from like 8 on if I want to make a push. So stick with Shaman for now, though. It's been fun. Cool. Yep. News? Not news. Emails.
We've got mail.
I feel like I should never change that bumper now since it's been like 5 weeks and not even, it's been like 10 weeks and I haven't changed it from the old stuff, but we're going to keep it there. So we've got mail. We do finally You can send us your emails to wellmet@blizzbro.com and we will read them on the show and do our best that we can. And let's go ahead and get start with the first one from Ben B. JR, I'll let you take this one first.
Yeah, so we got an email from Ben B. Greetings, Wellmetters. As Hearthstone is a reflection of WoW, would Team 5 be better off trying to maintain class diversity by sticking to the roles, strengths of each class embodies in WoW, rather than trying to allow all classes to play all or most of the basic styles, aggro, mid-range, control, and combo? Diversity within a class archetypes could then be accomplished through distinct synergies within the class, maybe as a reflection of the different specs that existed in WoW. Thoughts? Kevin.
Yeah, so Ben, I think there's definitely merit to that, and I think I like the idea, but I think that the designers have tried as best they could to kind of do that already. You see that the classes sort of have roles, and I think that's reflected in things like what each class has for a hero power or which mechanics are available to classes. There's a reason that only Druid gets choose one cards. There's a reason that only Warrior and Druid really get armor, and then there's a couple of like outside specific ways where other classes can. We even have cards like Shadow Form for Priest, where a priest can use their shadow spec and change up how they play to reflect that as well. I think there's just a problem right now where, if anything, there are classes that don't have enough variety. I would look at a class like Hunter, for example, and say, when you play a Hunter in World of Warcraft, you have this cool set of synergies depending on which Hunter spec you play, where you've got a bunch of utility and things that you can add to a raid environment or things that you can do as that class that we've never really seen done well in the Hearthstone environment. So maybe there should be cards that reflect playing more of a survival Hunter, where you could put up damage over time effects on a target, or the ability to disengage, and that would make your hero go immune for a turn, right? Because we've seen cards that maybe could have done things like that, like Feign Death, and they did reflect a certain style of Hunter, but Hunter is a class that to me lacks identity in a few places. Rogue would be the other one. I would love to see some variety in Rogue, especially when you look at WoW, how Rogue is getting all these cool new things in the new expansion, and it's going to be very different from the Rogue that you see in Hearthstone. So that's my angle, John.
I would echo most of those same things. I mean, in the end, even in WoW, all different specs and almost all different classes, I think there's three or four like pure one, you know, basically DPS only class, right? You've got Mage, you've got Hunter, you've got Warlock, and then you've got, is Demon Hunter all?
Demon Hunters can tank. You'd be thinking Rogue,
they
maybe.
They can tank.
Rogues are all Rogue. Damage.
Yeah. So there was still four, you know, where they're like all damage, but all the other ones have at least two different roles that they can play. I think for Hearthstone, you know, gameplay first, there needs to be at least two different like types of archetypes that can be somewhat viable for the class. And I think that's what Rogue really struggled with for the longest time, is there's really only one way to play Rogue. You have a strong, powerful weapon, strong finisher with Blade Flurry, and use the powerful spells to kind of get you to your win condition. And like that was the way you played Rogue really for the past 2 years. It changed a little bit and it iterated a little bit, but ultimately the goal was the same. And every once in a while you'd see something kind of creep up of like, ooh, Death Rattle Rogue or a new Baroque Rogue. And it would quickly like dissipate, Pirate Rogue. But to actually say, kind of like Mage. Mage is like, you can play Tempo Mage, you can play Freeze Mage. They're both good. They're not always going to be equally as good, but they're both going to be good enough archetypes where you can say, ah, that's something I can play. That's a build I can go for. And I think right now, Standard has definitely helped that. We're seeing new archetypes, and it's too crazy right now to know for sure if that's actually what's happening. But that's, I do think that that's something that is the Hearthstone team's goal, is to have variety, but at the same time, stay true to like what the class does. Anything else, JR?
I think you guys pretty much hit the nail on the head with that. The only thing I would say is, like Rogue, I would like to see something that's more sneaky, roguelike, rather than hitting minions with your face and taking damage, possibly having being able to not only hit them with your face, but not take damage because you're sneaking up behind them or flanking them or something like that. The problem with the rogue class is it was so very powerful in the beta that they had to nerf a lot of its flavor in a way, unfortunately. But I would like to see them kind of get rogue back into a way that gives it a better feel rather than getting stuck playing with these one-sided decks and seeing Miracle Rogue coming back again like it has.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Ben, thanks again for your email. Let's go on to this next one, Kev.
Yeah, so our second message this week is from Adrian, and Adrian writes, "Hey guys, I'm happy to say that I'm making the switch over to Hearthstone from Magic the Gathering. I've played at many high-level MTG events with great success, and I'm a glutton for competition. So for my question, what would you recommend that I do? What are the best resources and where are they located for things that focus on competitive play? What kind of advice can you offer to someone who's not a beginner in card games, but new to Hearthstone specifically? Thanks for the help." JR, you want to lead on this one?
Yeah, I would love to. I was a competitive Magic the Gathering player as well before I came into Hearthstone. It's going to be a lot of the same that you're going to see with Magic. You're going to have a tough time getting used to not being able to answer on your opponent's turn. But once you get past that, it plays very much the same. And then also knowing when to trade your minions, because as an attacker, you are in charge of the trade, whereas in Magic the Gathering, as a blocker, you're the one in charge of the trade. So once you get past that, it's not too difficult to want to make the move from Magic into Hearthstone. Some of the resources I would recommend is to go out and watch some of these live streams. A lot of people really like Crip and Trump. However, I would lean more towards some of the pro players that are out there, or even some of the Hearthstone developers. Like, if you get a chance to watch Ben Brode play, he's a lot of fun to play, and you actually do learn a little bit about the game in a fun way. If you want to watch competitive play, I believe some of the streams that I have enjoyed would be like Archon's Orange and Zelay. Almost anybody on Team Archon, I really do enjoy watching. Beyond that, go to hearthstone.blizzpro.com. We have some stuff out there. Or there's other good sites out there like Hearthpwn, Tempo Storm, Hearthhead. All of those sites are great resources for not only deck lists, but also learning how to play the game a little bit and getting more in-depth statistics and things like that.
Yeah, I definitely would say for me, I think Hearthhead puts out some really great content. Unbiasedly, Kevin writes the meta report there in conjunction and collaboration with many great players and kind of idea generators in the Hearthstone community. So I think that's a great place to go as well. I am going to second JR saying, you know, I don't watch like the top 10 streamers for the most part because a lot of it's for entertainment value. And when I want entertainment, that's where I go. But Vicious Syndicate actually has some really great high level players. Ray C591, you know, you won't see him at 5,000, 10,000 viewers, but he's consistently top 100 legend player playing really difficult decks, really great job at explaining what he's doing and his thought processes. Also a former Magic the Gathering player too. So he's, Pokemon, sorry. He was Pokemon that he did, but you know, still, you know, coming from a new game, what he sees and what he, you know, how he plays and how he thinks about the game is really good. Freshka, he is a former Magic the Gathering player. Tana Grace too was competitive there. And so there's so many good people and so many good streamers who have really great educational streams. And I would search there. And I hope Blizzard does their like streamer awards again, where they can do like most educational streams and stuff again, because those were really helpful for me too. And I wanted to kind of get on those. Kev, what would you add?
I mean, you guys hit the major stuff. The only thing I would encourage above and beyond that is if you already have the fundamentals of card games down, it's not going to take you very long to get a sense of the Hearthstone mechanics, how trading works, what, you know, how to value removal, stuff like that, because you're going to not deal with a lot of those beginner mistakes. When I came to Hearthstone, it was my first CCG of any kind, and I was one of those people who was wasting my weapon charges on my opponent's face because I didn't realize that that was a bad decision. I would say make sure you watch the major tournaments when they're on, because you'll learn a lot about what's current and competitive. If there's something like a DreamHack or a Hearthstone Championship Tour tournament on, those are really good resources to see what's being played at the highest level and see what really high level decision making looks like. Keep up with what's coming out on the competitive subreddits, like competitive Hearthstone. There's good stuff there. People are posting deck lists when they hit Legend, and the rules now about the types of data you have to supply to validate your deck are crazy. Like, you have to have a minimum number of games, you have to provide a certain win ratio, you have to have all of that available to anyone who wants to look at your deck list and your proof. But yeah, I mean, after you've got that stuff behind you, the stuff that JR, John, and myself recommended, just practice. Like, the biggest thing is just number of games. I play better Hearthstone now than I did 10,000 games ago, and a lot of that is just number of games played and learning from my own mistakes, because I think that's where you're going to get the best, is just putting in the range time.
And I would say, if you want to watch streams of successful Magic the Gathering players that came to Hearthstone, some of the names I can think of is Brian Kibler, Raynad, and then, as John said, Fresca and Tannen Grace.
Yep. Cool. All right, let's go on to this next one then. We've got so many freaking emails. I love it. Thank you guys again. This one comes from Mark L. He goes, "Hey guys at Well Meant, I would love to pick your brains a little bit about the new meta and a few of the cards. What legendary cards from this set do you see lasting into the coming months as the meta settles down? Second, what epic card from Whispers of the Old Gods do you see as your personal MVPs? And do you see Reno C'Thun decks ever becoming competitive?" And we'll take this first one first. What legendary cards from this set do you see lasting into the coming months as the meta settles down? And I know, Kev, you've kind of done quite a bit of digging for us to kind of find some good answers to this one. So I'll let you go ahead and take this first one away.
Sure. Yeah. As far as things that are going to last, I think you have to look at things that have value beyond hyper-specific deck archetypes, right? Something like C'Thun, for example, you're only ever going to run if you're running all of the things that are required to pull C'Thun off. And C'Thun as a win condition is not probably going to be super viable in a more settled meta. It's going to be something that most players have figured out how to play around. It's not going to be a really great, reliable win condition for people. So I think the ones that are going to matter are going to be the ones where they're good on curve, well statted, able to trade really efficiently, have a very specific and unique effect as far as what they do on the board, and will likely, because of that, contribute to a variety of different archetypes, even if they don't do the specific job that they were maybe intended to do. So for me, I look at class cards like Fandral, Halazil, and the new Ragnaros are probably the big three for me, because you could drop them into just about any archetype in any of those classes and they would be playable. You can get tons of value out of like a Halazil on curve that doesn't get cleared, and then you know, lightning storm behind it. New Ragnaros in Paladin. Every Paladin archetype can get value out of an 8 heal, because every Paladin archetype ran like Lay on Hands. And Fandral, I think, super, super consistent again as well in that respect. Just good body on curve, if nothing else, and really useful effect if you are playing Druid at all. The neutrals that I think you're going to see, I think Sargoth, the big taunt, has applications. Until people really heavily tech in Black Knight, that's such a good card because there's just no way to answer it other than trading into it, and it's got such a huge stat block. I think you'll find people will make it work. There's reasons to pull it together and use that card in a variety of archetypes. And actually the big one, like probably the number one in my mind, is Twin Emperors. It's such an easy card to get the C'Thun activation for. Those 2/4/6 bodies are super good taunts. Even if you run Black Knight or Big Removal, you're generally only killing one of the two of them, because I don't think there's a single thing in the game other than like straight up board wipes like Twisting Nether that can answer 2/4/6 bodies simultaneously. Like, that survives basically everything in the game. And a lot of classes will run like one or two C'Thun activators, right? They'll run the little C'Thun, C'Thun, C'Thun panda or whatever, and use that to get enough value to play to an Emperor's with the benefit, and they can see when it's been triggered, because Blizzard did a much better job this go around of making sure you can see which cards actually have their effects activated. I don't see a world in which that card's not going to get played until the day it rotates out. JR, what did I miss?
I think you missed Malkorok, extremely good in Warrior, and Zeril for Rogue. Zeril you're seeing a lot right now, especially in Miracle Rogue, which I know Kevin loves so much. Not only Miracle Rogue, but it's a good card for just Rogue in general. Just anything you want to run. I would say the surprise legendary that no one is playing yet, but I believe will eventually see play before Whispers of the Old God Old Gods rotates out of standard.
I can't wait where this goes. Sorry.
Will be Hogger, Doom of Elwyn. It's a 7-drop 6/6. Whenever this minion takes damage, it's summon a 2/2 minion with taunt.
It's literally Trogzor.
Yeah.
No, it's literally the Trogzor of this set.
No, I think it'll I think it'll see play. Yeah.
What?
It will.
Okay.
Okay.
Trust me. Trust me on that.
I'm gonna go file that one right next to Bolster. And we'll
Bolster would be super good with Hogger, because you could bolster all of his little gnolls.
To be fair, I avoid sweeping declarations, so I appreciate you going out on a limb, making a call. As much
we,
as I
we
disagree
appreciate you,
I really think it's going to be the Varian Wrynn of this set. Except no one thought it. We thought it was going to be pretty decent.
As in, you're going to craft a golden one?
No, I'm not going to craft a golden one. You guys aren't going to talk me into that.
Underestimate our powers. We're pretty convincing.
Yeah, you thought I was going to say Yogg-Saron though.
No, that card doesn't deserve to be played in any competitive deck. It's literally just a table flip. Like, it's a powerful card, but there's no way anyone plans around it as a win condition. It's no way that it's going to be a reliable part of any meta deck ever.
Saw play at DreamHack.
Yeah, as a table flip. As a, I'm screwed, I'm not going to throw it down and just see what happens. Like, it's the equivalent
it's a viable
of...
strategy.
It's the equivalent of using a paintball gun to play chess. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Whoa.
I'm going to bring a paintball
gun
to play
chess.
We're
going to go on to this next part here. We're going to keep going because paintball and chat. Oh my God. So what epic card from Whispers of the Old God do you see as your personal MVPs? JR, you got any for us?
That was a tough one because I was looking through these and like there are no neutral like epic cards that I'm super excited about. So I was looking through the class cards and the obvious one that comes to me that is going to be played for a long, long time is Hunter's Call of the Wild. That card is just so good. Like, that should be a legendary in and of itself. It's just such a good card, and it's seeing a lot of play, and it's going to continue seeing a lot of play. Other than that, Forbidden Healing for Paladin has been a lot better than I expected it to be. That card's been pretty good for Control Paladin.
All right, what do you think, Kev?
I mean, Call of the Wild is the really obvious one. That's just such an incredible amount of power loaded up into one card. And I've seen people trying to make it work with Tundra Rhino, of all things, coming back, and people are running Tundra Rhino as a one of in like mid-range Hunter decks. And if you can get a Tundra Rhino to stick and play a high main or Call of the Wild behind it, I mean, it's game-ending. It's instantaneously game-ending. It's scary how powerful that is. So Call of the Wild for sure. Runner-ups for me would have been Eternal Sentinel in Shaman, because resetting Overload for 2 and putting down a 2-drop is absurd and scary how good that is. And now that you can run that and Lavashark, you can basically queue up and have an Overload reset available for every major Overload that you would play. And Shadowcaster in Rogue. I don't know that we've seen Shadowcaster's full potential yet, because there's a lot of stuff that it combos really, really, really well with. But I think Shadowcaster is going to be one of those cards that people will do a lot of work with once they know what specifically to use it on. And they're not just trying to like slap it down on a turn where they've got nothing better to do. Like, I think it's a combo piece in a very specific way. And when people understand how to use it, it's going to be really, really powerful.
Okay. So Hearthstone, or so Shadowcaster, for those who don't have all the cards memorized yet, because I know I've definitely found myself in a boat there. That was the one that I had to look up again. So Shadowcaster is a 5-mana rogue epic. It's a 4 attack, 4 health, reads Battlecry. Choose a friendly minion, add a 1/1 copy to your hand that costs 1.
Yeah.
So that's what it does. I always forget that one, probably because I haven't really seen it yet. So that's what that card does.
It's crazy good. It just, I think people really haven't, like I said, haven't figured it out yet. I think there's a lot of applications there that you just don't understand yet.
Cool. Any others we should add to that list? Feel good? Cool. Let's do the last part of this one then. Do you guys see Reno C'Thun decks ever becoming competitive? Kevin, go first.
I do not, no. The problem with running Reno and C'Thun is that you need as many of the C'Thun cards as possible to act as the activators to make C'Thun your win condition card, and you also want to get as much value as possible in the early to mid game out of the C'Thun cards to activate the mid game cards for whatever class or archetype you're trying to run, whether it's the Ancient Shield Bearer, Twin Emperors, Dark Mender in Priest, the Amber Weaver in Druid. Like, if you haven't played enough C'Thun cards to get the effect out of those cards, they're not actually good. Like, you don't want to throw down the Ancient Shield Bearer without getting that armor, because that's the whole reason to run the card. You don't want to throw down the Dark Mender in Priest, even though it works like it on vanilla on curve. It feels like it's an okay play, but you really need that effect. You 100% need to have that effect. So I think bottom line, what you want to do with Reno and what you want to do with C'Thun pull you in two totally different directions. You could probably do it, but fundamentally it's not a good idea.
JR, what would you add to that?
I don't want to say it's never gonna be competitive, but I will say that I mostly agree with Kevin that I don't see it working for much of the same reason he was saying, is you want those C'Thun cards very badly, and if you're gimping yourself to only having 1 instead of 2 for them, it's not going to be as good of a deck, maybe, but stranger things have happened, and Reno is very powerful by itself. C'Thun's very powerful by itself.
I mean, you so basically have to play like a C'Thun deck with Reno in it and just save Reno to the very end and hope that you could beat your opponent in fatigue somehow after playing a real-sized C'Thun. But if you pull Reno in the mid game, he just wouldn't be activated. And that feels like a bad strategy. Like, the Reno decks that run more than 1 or 2 duplicates tend to do very poorly. Most Reno decks that run duplicates run like 1 critical card, like Brawl in Reno Warrior is like the only duplicate card you run, because you just can't afford to not have Reno active when it's in your hand.
I think the only class that I can really think of that would be able to pull it off and pull it off well would be Warrior. If there was a Reno C'Thun deck, I think Warrior would have to be it.
But what would be the point? Like, C'Thun is going to be less viable than just slapping down like a Grommish at that point in the game, because your C'Thun right. is only going to get up to what? If you run 1 of each of the obvious C'Thun cards in Warrior, you might get like a 14-14 C'Thun if you're lucky.
Yeah, it may not. It definitely may not be as good as just running a straight up Reno Warrior deck. But that's what I'm saying. If there was one, that would probably be the best one. And even that one's kind of meh.
The way that I've kind of decided I stand on this is, I feel like for a C'Thun deck to be really good, it needs to have about 10 total cards that affect C'Thun, but ideally closer to like 15. But let's just say 10. So 5 really good cards that affect C'Thun. If you're not running Reno, which is pretty easy to do. There's easily 5 really good C'Thun cards that almost any class can play. But once you introduce Reno, you're not probably going to run duplicates for the exact reason Kevin and JR said you wouldn't, because they're inconsistent, don't do well, slow, annoying, and people hate you. And so because of that, you're not going to run those cards. So if we see in the future more cards that synergize with C'Thun, maybe. We very well maybe could. I don't think that they're going to do that. Like, is there any world in which we get more C'Thun synergies in upcoming expansions?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, you might get synergies with other parts of the C'Thun kit, right? Like, you might get something like a future version of Baron Rivendare slash Bran, right? That doubles the effect of your end of turn effects. So maybe you could get two hits off of a Twilight Elder instead of one or something, right? That's a plausible synergy that doesn't exist now that could in the future, because that would be a card that would synergize with Manatide Totems and Ysera's and all the other end of turn cards. But that's not a C'Thun benefit. That's an archetype benefit across a mechanic.
Right.
Yeah, I think the C'Thun mechanic's going to be limited to the set
to
only.
Old gods,
I think
yeah.
so too. Yep.
And we're hung with it for this year and all of next year in standard anyways, so don't encourage them to add more.
And I do think, though, I will say that Bran Bronzebeard definitely does help, because being able to do, you know, 4/4 or, you know, 6/6 to your C'Thun really means that you only need to hit Bran and one of those really good C'Thun cards in a turn. But I think that it's a little bit too inconsistent, and a lot of things would have to stop being competitive before this would be competitive. Not necessarily that it's bad, but there's just almost always going to be something that is significantly better than what a Reno C'Thun deck would do. So that's the only thing I would say. I would love to see it. I actually, my friend Phil, he's known as Pillbot, he's in chat all the time and stuff. We was helping me with some of my studio stuff today, and he's like, can I show you this deck I made? And he actually made a C'Thun Reno Warlock, which was actually really freaking cool. Had some really great removal on it, and had some really great powerful spells, allowed him to reset the board multiple times. And on top of that, he was, you know, he can always draw cards as a warlock. And it actually worked out really well for him. And so he beat me. I was playing mid-range shaman, and he beat me pretty handily, but it was only one game, but still it was pretty cool. I would love to see it, just because I'd love to say that works. I just don't see it happening. Cool. All right. Here we go. Let's go on to this next one from, oh man, where did I go? Deemy, from Deemy. Kevin, take it away.
Will do. So Deemy says, greetings from Ohio. Since it's the year of the Kraken, many people in the Hearthstone community assume we are going to see a fun pirate-themed adventure, which would be perfect after the darker atmosphere of Old Gods. Whispers of Azumat, Vanessa Van Cleef, and Deadmines are already floating around. See what I did there? What are your thoughts? Does the pirate theme have enough substance to maybe be its own expansion? Is there a particular theme you would like to see instead? Thanks, and keep up the good work, Deemy. I'm just going to jump in and hit this one, because I honestly will be the first person to tell you I don't like the idea of tribal-based expansions. The C'Thun synergy with the C'Thun minions is okay in this particular expansion in Old Gods, because the Old Gods flair kind of pulls and works its way through a whole bunch of different archetypes. We didn't get that with tribal sets. And I think about the example of GVG, because it's the obvious one, where everything was so mech synergistic. Mech didn't actually end up being a significant impact in most of the classes. And tribal expansions don't have a tendency to widen the meta. They have a tendency to narrow it. So the scope of what we're seeing right now with all of the cool new cards that were introduced in Old Gods is, we kind of talked about this earlier in the show, like in DreamHack, there were 5 different warrior archetypes brought, which is cool and crazy and frankly unheard of. In most of the previous iterations of the game, in every other expansion, you were lucky to see 2 competitive archetypes in a given class. And now we're seeing a ton, because there's lots of stuff that kind of weaves its way through multiple classes. You don't tend to get that with tribes. You might see it with an adventure mode, but I think you end up with the Blackrock Mountain problem. They tried to make dragons a thing in Blackrock Mountain, and it just didn't work. Most of the dragon cards in BRM were fundamentally unplayable because they were too slow, they didn't have enough board impact, and there wasn't enough synergy available until additional dragons and additional dragon cards were added in the Grand Tournament. You also end up with a rotation problem, where, for example, right now, you end up with a card like Gorillabot that was added as a mech, is in the rotation after most of the mechs have been taken away. You basically have a 50-50 chance when you play a Gorillabot of getting another Gorillabot, because there's just so few mechs in standard for Gorillabot to choose from. So a lot of those synergies that are required to make a tribe interesting, pirates might be slightly better because there's a few more of them in the classic set, but it's just not going to be really conducive to making the game bigger and better. In terms of a theme I'd like to see instead, that's really tough, because there's it's hard to predict, right? We haven't really accurately predicted what's going to come out up to this point for concepts and themes prior to when they're announced. I think there's a lot of stuff they could do that would be really cool coming up over the summer when the next set is likely to come out around the release of the Warcraft movie in Legion. I feel like there's gonna be a lot of people that are going to touch Blizzard's franchises in, you know, different ways for different reasons. That'd be a really great time to do some really like cool, like major characters from the lore that aren't already in the game. Get some more of the like faction leaders, get some more of the big sort of well-respected heroes in Warcraft. How that exactly would work, I don't know, but I think that would be a really fun theme to see them explore, or maybe do more stuff around demons and the Burning Legion, because that's an area they haven't really touched yet in Hearthstone. But I don't know. JR, what do you think?
The only thing I'm going to predict is adventure mode will probably be next, and I do think they will stick with a Kraken style theme of some sort, and whether that's water based I don't want to go as far as pirate based, because I kind of agree with Kevin that doesn't seem to really work. I think they learned a lot with League of Explorers, and I think they're going to surprise us with what they come up with, because as they showed with League of Explorers, they can come up with all brand new characters and don't have to necessarily pull from the current World of Warcraft lore and be highly successful at it. So much so that those characters now are getting seen in World of Warcraft. So I think they'll surprise us again. I don't think it's going to be pirate themed, but it'll definitely, I'm sure, be some sort of water Kraken theme to go with the year. And I think we're going to see that going forward as the years have titles. I think we're going to see a theme around that every year.
So the only thing I want to add, because I think all in all, you're right that an expansion that centers around pirates, I just don't think it makes a lot of sense. At the same time, seeing an expansion that includes a lot of pirates, I definitely could see a thing. I mean, the Grand Tournament, right, had quite a few pirates and pirate synergies, even though it wasn't a pirate expansion by any means. I think Blizzard does want to see pirates at least for some time in this game. I think it's not a question of if, but a question of when the synergies are right, the cards are right, and that's when we see it happen. But I don't see them centering a whole expansion around that.
The one other thing too to bear in mind is that the pirate cards in particular in the game right now do very specifically really only work with weapon classes. They require weapon synergies to pull off, and four of the classes in the game don't get weapons. So it would be really, I think, messy to center too heavily on pirates and make that sort of the theme of an expansion, because it would just leave half of the classes out in the cold.
Right. All right. Last email. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. This one's my favorite. It's my favorite. I got to admit, this was pretty funny. So Drew sends us an email, says, "Well met. I have a funny story from the other day that I wanted to share with you guys. I was taking an exam in organic chemistry the other day, and the professor asked that we place our belongings at the front of the class. I placed my phone in my backpack and set everything down among the 100 or so bags. After the dust had settled and the exam was underway, something unfathomable happened. From the front of the classroom blared the glorious battle cry,
'Rooktar!'
Oh, God.
You see, I failed to mute my phone and my epic text tone disrupted the exam. Thankfully, there were too many bags and it would have been tough to figure out where it came from. While not Hearthstone related per se, I figure you guys would really want to know that your show produces some pretty entertaining sound bits. Keep up the amazing work on the show. Regards, Drew."
I have to admit, like, this is the level of not very smart I can be on like a Monday morning, because I read this email this morning and my instantaneous reaction, like, I had typed it all up and I was like, "Man, I wish you would have recorded that on your phone. Wait." And realized that's probably not going to work on account of the whole story. But that's the best story I think we've ever gotten about anything related to the sound files from any of our patrons. That's hilarious.
Yep.
You guys need to catch up. One out of three guests are now a ringtone, and I am that.
Yep.
So I'm proud of that.
Congratulations. Your fame knows no bounds.
Yeah, of all the things I thought I would be when I grew up, I didn't know it would be ringtone. So got that going for me. Gonna put on my resume and get hired someday.
There you go. I like it.
The beginning of JR's voice acting career. I love it.
Yep.
All right, we need to get out of here. This is a fun show. Before we do, though, we do want to take a moment again and thank our friends of the show, Sean G, Martin Z, and Albert T. Thank you guys so much for your support. If you want to know more, head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. We've got a lot of really cool stuff in the works. We can't wait to talk to you guys about emails. Of course, send us your emails to wellmet@blizzpro.com. And then let's go ahead. I'm going to switch it up here because I forgot to update the show notes here. iTunes reviews, JR.
Yeah, so iTunes reviews, we got a ton of them. You guys are awesome. You've been leaving a lot of them lately. We have them from all over the world. Starting from Switzerland, we have Shadow Death 444. From Norway, we have Jadar Bond. From the UK, we have Twisted _ Nerve. From the USA, we have Mark Lutz and Leal. And from Australia, we have Bell Hannigan. And from Japan, we have
Bell Hangin.
Okay. And from Japan, we have Benzi 518. So thanks so much for those 5-star reviews on iTunes. If you would like to give a 5-star review and have me give a little shout out on the show, just head over to iTunes. Sorry, my computer's been freaking out all day and it's been rough
for all of us.
So anyway, if you would like to give an iTunes review, head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone, look for the little Well Met thing there, and also go check us out on Google Podcasts. We're there now as well. Can't leave reviews there, but it's a pretty sweet service.
Nice. Kev, Patreons.
Yeah. So Patreon stuff, guys, we're very thankful to have two new members of the Well Met family this week. So to Ed S. and Frederick L., thank you guys so much for your support of the show. It means the world to us. Your guys' support is the only support that the show has from our friends, family, and fans, and that money gets us all of the equipment, the ability to put all this stuff on the show together, put aside the time to do the live streams and the prep and everything every week. Means the world to us that you guys care that much about the show. If you're not a supporter, you want to learn more about it, you can go over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast, check out the review, different tiers we have available to you. Be a part of what's going on, guys. We'd love to have you, and we appreciate it so, so much. Thank you.
Love you. All right. Let's go ahead and do our shout-out things and get out of here. JR, let's have you go first.
Yeah, so I'd just like to give a shout-out to a couple people in the chat room that subscribed to us on our Twitch channel today. Iron Maiden, I don't have his last 4 digits of what they were, and Sweet Taco Sauce. So those guys subscribe to our channel. We're now 7 subscribers away from getting custom emotes. And I want the next one to be of Kevin dressed up as Sir Murgleton. And it's going to be Pro Remarkable. I think that's going to be the next custom emote that we do.
That's pretty.
If you want to do that, head over to twitch.tv/blizzpro. Hit the little subscribe button. We'll get that going.
You can back. I got to go sub.
Yeah, you can get the Kevin Murgleton emote.
Nice. What about you, Kev? Shout outs for the week.
Well, I mean, the obvious one, I want to give a big shout out to my mom and all the other mothers. We moved the show so that we could spend the weekend doing the Mother's Day thing. So to all the moms out there, thank you so much. It was awesome to have the weekend to focus on that and do the family thing. And I got to see all of my family and all the friends who were home visiting their family, which was great. If you're a reader and you prefer to use your eyes to take in things instead of your ears like the show, my new article is out on GamesBeat about being a Hearthstone caster. It was super popular over the weekend. Something like 60,000 people checked it out just over the weekend, which is crazy. And the official Hearthstone account actually retweeted it and mentioned it. So if you're interested, head over to GamesBeat online. You can find my profile there and check out the article. And this week I will be getting back to streaming again. So I've got a few nights free every week. This week it's looking like Wednesdays and Fridays are looking good. I'll be streaming at twitch.tv/OdenTV, Odin with two N's, playing some Hearthstone and some Heroes of the Storm while we await the glorious return of Overwatch.
Nice. Cool. As for me, same thing. If you are watching the video show, you'll see I'm in my new space, the mouth of Yogg-Saron, actually, is where I am. But I've got my new studio set up. I think it sounds really great, and I don't even have my acoustic paneling up yet, and I'm really excited. So huge shout out to Phil and Katie, who have helped me all week try to kind of make this happen. I'm also going to be back streaming twitch.tv/kickedtripod. And I also started up my Patreon, and I'm actually sending out my Patreon videos on Wednesday. I took videos from my favorite places in Minnesota to thank my first month's patrons. So I did that as well. So yeah. Well, I think that's about it for us this week. You can tune in together with your friends live every Sunday on twitch.tv/blizzbro at 7 p.m. Pacific, or find us on your favorite podcast outlets. For updates throughout the week, follow us on Twitter at WellMet Podcast, and WellMet is entirely supported by our fans. Find out more at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. We also have merch at store.blizzbro.com. And as always, a big thank you to Jake Buttono at jakebuttono.ca for our music and site designs for our graphics. Thank you again for joining us for episode 60 of Well Met, and we will see you next time.
Well Met is a production of blizzpro.com. The show records live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/blizzpro. To get the latest news and information about the show, follow us on Twitter at Well Met Podcast, or join us on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/WellMetPodcast. If you would like to support the show, you can find out how at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast.
God.